Welcome to the Heather Ridge 6th Ward Sacrament Meeting, especially for those who are visiting for the first time. Our bishop is out of town, and he has asked me to preside as well as conduct. The one announcement we have is next Sunday, the ward choir will be practicing here at 1210 in the chapel. Our opening hymn is page 81, Press Forward Saints, and the invocation will be given by Kyle Chandler.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we are very grateful this day to be able to come and unite as ward members to partake of the sacrament and to learn more about Thee. We ask Thee, Father, to bless us this day that we may feel Thy Spirit and learn more about Thee and that we can take the lessons we learn and apply them in our lives. We ask a blessing for all the speakers, that they may have Thy Spirit to be with them. And we also ask a blessing for the prophet and his apostles, as well as the missionaries and our bishopric members, and all the local leaders. Father, please bless all those who are in need of thy help at this time and those who were unable to attend this day. We love thee very much, and we say these things in the name of thy son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, Heather turned 16 Thursday, right? Mm-hmm. So we'd like to congratulate Heather on reaching a key milestone as she moves into the Laurel class. And so this is a great opportunity for her, and congratulate her this today when you see her. Thanks. Max. So Max Roberts is actually turning 16 today. And we are proposed that Max Roberts be ordained a priest in the Aaronic priesthood. All those who are in favor, manifested by the uplifted hand. Any opposed, may manifest. Congratulations, Max. We have a wonderful program today. Our youth speaker will be Aaron Bennett. And then following Aaron, we will hear from Sister Judy Perrette, who is just returning back to us. They've been in a singles ward at BYU. So it'll be great to hear from her. And then we will have a special musical number by Sister Karen Mitchell, Love at Home. And our concluding speaker will be Blake Lesh. This might be one of our last times to see Blake. We were a little scared that we might not see him this morning as he came in, but he'll be heading off on his mission. But sounds like he has quite a few trips planned prior to that with his family. So we look forward to that. So I'll turn the time over to Aaron.
I wrote good morning on my paper, but I guess it's afternoon. So good afternoon, brothers and sisters. So last week, I made the wise decision of not going to Young Women's and instead sitting out in the lobby. And I guess Heavenly Father didn't want me to do that again. So Brother Breckstead came over to me and informed me that I was giving a talk next week. So for those of you who don't like public speaking, don't skip class. I'm supposed to address a talk that stood out to me during the last general conference, and immediately the talk given by Robert Hales came into my mind about the Holy Ghost. First of all, what is the Holy Ghost and what does it do for us? In Robert Hales' talk, he said that personal revelation is essential, but it's only part of the work of the Holy Ghost. As the scriptures attest, the Holy Ghost also testifies of the Savior and God the Father. He teaches us the peaceable things of the kingdom and causes us to abound in hope. He leadeth us to do good and to judge righteously. He gives to every man and woman a spiritual gift that all may be profited thereby. He giveth us knowledge and brings us to things, brings all things to our remembrance. Through the Holy Ghost we may be sanctified and receive a remission of our sins. He is the Comforter, the same who was promised unto the Savior's disciples. End quote. The Holy Ghost really gives us a slight view of what it's like to have the power of God on earth. All the benefits it gives you, especially the revelation and the way of telling right from wrong, is invaluable. Unfortunately, often we are selfish and will blatantly ignore the Holy Ghost, casting it off as just a feeling so that we don't have to act upon it. People will fall away from the church because they find that the Holy Ghost does not tell them what they want to hear. Whether it be to give up an addictive habit, apologize to a schoolmate, it's hard, and an individual needs to have courage and humility to follow what seems like just a feeling. Even often, what the Holy Ghost is telling you to do seems like the wrong and the most selfish thing to do. Like Robert Hale states in his talk, all of us may be tempted to let our personal desires overcome the guidance of the Holy Ghost. The prophet Joseph Smith pleaded with Heavenly Father for permission to lend the first 116 pages of the Book of Mormon to Martin Harris. Joseph thought it was a good idea. At first, the Holy Ghost did not give him confirming feelings. Eventually, the Lord allowed Joseph to lend the pages anyway. Martin Harris lost them. For a season, the Lord withdrew from the prophet's gift to translate, and Joseph learned the painful but valuable lesson that shaped the remainder of his service. End quote. Joseph wanted to help his friend out, so he chose to ignore the blatant answer that the Spirit gave him. However unselfish his actions were supposed to be, it caused the loss of a huge part of the Book of Mormon, as well as temporary separation from Heavenly Father. So if you know me at all, you know that I am an avid harpist and music lover, but this wasn't always the case. In my early teens, I hated harp, and I wanted to quit. It required too much practice, and I couldn't be bothered to take an hour away from my video games. However, through a feeling which I now believe to be the Holy Ghost, and through the all-knowing foresight of my dear mother, I decided that I would not quit just yet. And now, harp is one of the main sources of joy in my life, along with what I want to pursue in the future. If I chose my own wishes back then, my life would be entirely different. We always need to understand that God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost know what's going to happen, so I'd say it's a safe bet just to trust them. As we follow these promptings, it will become easier and easier to recognize them, and they will arrive more frequently. By following the Holy Ghost, we will also gain a stronger understanding of who Heavenly Father wants us to become and His plan for us. Hales also states, I was guided to prepare a general conference message about senior missionary couples. Following the conference, my brother recounted, as we listened to the conference, immediately the Spirit of the Lord touched my very soul. There was no mistaking the message for me and for my sweetheart. We were to serve a mission, and the time was now. When I looked at my wife, I realized that she had received the very same inspiration from the Spirit. The Spirit helped this, end quote. The Spirit helped this elderly couple to fully understand and to accomplish their purpose because they were both open to its promptings. So to conclude, in harp, we have to constantly tune the strings, and to do this, we pluck a string, moving the tuning key back and forth until it arrives at the correct pitch. To tune the whole harp, it may take up to a half an hour and requires a lot of focus. But once the harp is in tune, the music is glorious and it's definitely worth it. Just like the harp and these strings, it may take time to get us in tune to the Holy Ghost and a lot of adjusting and a lot of being humble and waiting and time. But once we are in tune, the Spirit will speak to us in the most beautiful ways and it will be definitely worth it. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Well, Erin, that was beautiful. She definitely gave us heaven. Do you know what a good-looking group of people you are? And it is such a privilege to be here with you. Mark and I have been serving for the last 5 years in the Provo YSA Fourth Stake on BYU campus, which is Heritage Halls. And we have been told that it is the smallest geographic stake in the church, but there's plenty to do. After 5 years, I feel like we've come home from a five-year mission. Mark is going to tell you more about it next week, but it was joyful and intense and a lovely, lovely place to be. Our name is Porat. It's shortened Russian. My husband's family came from, his father's family was Poretsky and came from Russia. His great-grandfather was a rabbi in Russia. His mother's Jewish family came from Poland. And my sweetheart resounded to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ when he met me and heard it. We have 7 children and 24 grandchildren. We are a big, noisy group to which my immediate neighbors can fully attest. But our family is like President Tinkley described at one point in time. Most people's children will just grow up to be ordinary people, and that's what we are, a big, loud, ordinary family. But if you ever need a really good man to be by your side, Mark's your guy. When I was 6 years old, my parents took a very rare break from work on the farm, and we traveled to the state fair for a day. If you've never been to a state fair, picture a really gaudy Disneyland on a hot day. That's a state fair. In one of the many booths, I spotted the doll of my 6-year-old dreams. She had blonde hair and a long blue dress. I remember gazing at that doll and thinking, if I looked long enough and looked longingly enough at that doll, my parents would buy that doll for me. Well, that didn't happen. But I had gazed long enough that when I turned around, my family had moved on and were gone. I knew the direction in which they were going. We weren't a small group. My siblings, my parents, my grandparents, aunts, uncles, and cousins. So where in the world did a group that size go so quickly? I looked and prayed and walked in the same direction for so long, but gone they were. Somehow, I knew at that point that I needed to go someplace where I knew I would be safe. A place where I knew, without a doubt, my family would eventually come. That was our car. I knew I would recognize it. I had no doubt that I knew which car would be ours. I could see it in my mind. I knew what it looked like. I had been in that car hundreds of times. That vehicle had become the symbol of safety, of rescue, and ultimately of family. I knew if I could make it back to the car, I would be safe. How, you might wonder, did a little 6-year-old farm girl find her way from the far end of a state fair with teeming, pressing crowds through a maze of parked vehicles, row after row after row, to exactly the right car? How did I get there? When I found the car, I planted myself on the driver's side of the car and grabbed a hold of the door handle. When 2 older ladies sitting in the car right next to ours offered me cookies, my grip became a death grip because every child knows that's not safe. Family rumor has it that I was gone. I had been lost for about an hour when I looked down the row of endless cars and saw my dad walking off in the distance toward me. My young heart, probably for the first time ever, felt true joy. It took a few minutes for my dad to pry my hands off of the car handle. When you consider what a state fair looks like, how they sound, how they smell, there is so much to pull and tug your attention away with the hope of luring you one way or another. So to think that anything other than angels were on guard and on duty that day is utter foolishness. They were. Here's the miracle. I listened and followed. Thankfully, my dad received the same inspiration and listened and followed. And my family prayed. And there were 2 little white-haired angels sitting in the car next to ours. What are the chances? Those sweet ladies told my father that there was no way they were going to leave until someone had come for that little girl. Angels, of course. This incident is not so big in the whole entire spectrum of the big wide world, but it was my whole world. We have experienced times when an enticing environment, choices, paralyzing ideas, or sophistry, or any number of other things have pulled our attention away from the path of safety. The question is not, will it happen? The question is, when will it happen? And the answer is another question. What are we going to do about it? May I propose that in the middle of doing so many foolish things that day, I did do one thing that in conventional wisdom would be deemed as utterly foolish, but I went to the place where I knew I would be safe, a place of rescue, a place where I knew my family and I would be together again, and certainly I did not get there on my own. Heaven guided and watched over me every step of the way. There are 150 such places dotting the earth today, and inscribed over the doorway of each are the words, Holiness to the Lord and House of the Lord. The temple is the saving vehicle, the great place of rescue, the only place on the face of the earth that can and will ensure us of the safe return of our family. When we feel the world's tug or are distracted by the noise or fear and doubt rear its ugly head in our hearts, I would advise us to hurry along to the temple. Elder Cook in April General Conference admonished us, see yourself in the temple. It's a simple admonition. To hold in our mind's eyes our goals is direction we receive from scriptures and from living prophets. Among them, Alma asks, can you imagine to yourselves that ye hear the voice of the Lord saying unto you in that day, come unto me, ye blessed, for behold, your works have been works of righteousness upon the face of the earth. So, can you imagine yourself in the temple? Can you hear the quiet peace? Can you see the beauty of that spotless decor? Can you see the radiant light? Can you see the smiles and the gracious ways of those who enter therein? Can you see yourself dressed in white? Can you see the temple in you? When I think back on that lovely doll, the beauty has long since faded. I couldn't describe any detail of that toy today. But I have a perfect picture of my father walking toward me. He was happy to see me. He was tender and kind. He was loving and sweet to those dear ladies who sat keeping watch over me. He was simply the most beautiful sight I had ever beheld. He was exactly as I imagine our Heavenly Father is when he sees us in his holy house. And as with the car door handle, clinging with every ounce of strength we have to the iron rod. It's not hard for me to visualize safe places because I've been blessed to find them. There have been times when it has been so scary or so lonely or so hard to endure until I've been able to reach their safety. But I want to repeat what I said earlier. May I propose that in the middle of doing so many foolish things, I have done one thing that in conventional wisdom would be deemed as foolish. I went to the place where I knew I would be safe, a place of rescue, a place where I knew my family and I would be together again. And certainly, I did not get there on my own. Heaven has guided and watched over me every step of the way as I fled to the temple. I want to share something with you that I hold as holy and sacred, but not in the way that it shouldn't be shared. It should be shared time and time again. It speaks of the refining power of the temple. This is part of a talk my beautiful friend Tava Patch gave at a stake additional meeting we held March 17, 2015 for the Provo YSA Fourth Stake. Tava Patch is the actress that filmed many church films and seminary videos. She was Woman at the Well, Woman with the Issue of Blood, Mary Magdalene at the Tomb, Soraya, Lucy Mack Smith, to name just a very few. Tava was undergoing chemotherapy when she spoke to our 1,400 young Relief Society sisters. For the preceding 10 years, she had battled incurable illnesses that never left her alone. And yet she kept going, beautiful, poised, serving, and still acting and making films. But finally, after 5 long months in intensive care, she passed away. 2 months before the Provo City Center Temple was dedicated. But a year ago, speaking of her beloved Provo Tabernacle, she said, "It's hard to convey to you how distressing it was when, in December of 2010, a fire destroyed the building. The blackened outer walls stood, but the inside was completely gutted. The distinctive roof was gone, and many of the stained windows were blackened or their frames stood open and gaping. It was tragic. How could this happen? What would we do? Will it have to be torn down?" Almost a year later, in October conference, President Monson announced that the building would become a temple. If you don't live in the area, I invite you to go to the church website and read about the amazing process of preserving the exterior and the engineering wonders of seeing the building seemingly float 40 feet above the ground so that the work could proceed on the basement. I hope in the future many of you may have the chance to attend this temple. We are happy in the progress and have watched the work with great interest, but I have a lively imagination. So as I would see the tabernacle through these months and then in the strenuous early phases of temple construction, I have fancied a conversation going on. Says Tava, "I could almost hear the building. It seemed to say, that fire was awful. Why did I have to go through a fire? Why am I left here while no one knows what to do with me? And then, wasn't I doing a good job? Wasn't I part of great things? I was blessing people's lives and providing for many needs. What was I doing wrong?" I wondered if that building rejoiced at the announcement that it would become a temple. I have wondered what it will say when it is finished and dedicated and of the lives that will be blessed. I think I imagine these conversations because I see myself somewhat like the temple. At times I have felt part of the work, that what I did mattered and was joyful in my service. We have all had those times. They're real and they're meaningful. And when we encounter, and meaningful when we encounter hard things. But then when we encounter hard things, we might be moved to say, wasn't I doing a good job? I was blessing people's lives and providing for many needs. What did I do wrong? And all the while, the Lord is taking us gently along and planning for us to be a temple. If that happens, don't be afraid. End of Tava's quote. So see yourself in the temple. See the temple in yourself. So that when the world encroaches upon your happiness, your faith, your security, you will hurry along straight to the temple, straight to the place of safety, rescue, and peace. This is my prayer for each one of us, and I say this in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
That was awesome. I wish you would have played Be Still My Soul because I'm stressing out right now. But that'll do. Okay, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Yes, this is my farewell talk, but this is not my final goodbye. We're going to be in and out of Washington before I leave. So we decided to do my farewell this week. My farewell talk. So, Brother Beck said, gave me the choice of, he's like, I'll give you a topic or you can pick one yourself. And I decided to pick one myself. And I was like, I was like, yeah, I'm going to pick one myself, but I had no idea what I wanted to do it on. And so I talked with Randy, talked to my mom, and Randy's like, I think it'd be cool if you went off the priesthood session of this latest one, because first off, you know, most of the women and the young women don't get to hear the priesthood session, and pertaining to us young men and the men, these are the latter day words that we are supposed to be heeding to, and so that's what I wanted to share. And I was telling Ray this morning, I was like, yeah, you told me to do it on priesthood session, and I was like trying to pull pieces from like every talk, and then I was like, no, like this is gonna, like I can't do all that in 15 minutes, so I decided to just focus on one talk. And the one I chose was The Price of Priesthood Power, given by Brother Russell M. Nelson. It was the very first talk of the session. So I'd like to share the story with you guys that he shares of the Hatfield family. And Jimmy and Ruth Hatfield were the parents of four children. Their first three were born with a rare heart disease. Their first son died without even being diagnosed. They didn't know what was wrong with him before he had passed away. But their next two, they had two daughters. And Russell M. Nelson was the man who was able to perform their heart surgeries. And sadly, both of their daughters had passed away too, and it had crushed him, and it had crushed the Hatfield family. They were spiritually shattered, is the word that he uses. And they had so much regret against, I don't want to say hate, but for lack of a better word, they struggled with their faith, and they left the church. And he said it haunted him, and continually he tried to connect with his family, and just never had happened. And one night, those two daughters that he performed heart surgeries on came to him, and he said, "I did not see them, I did not hear them, but I felt their presence spiritually." And they said, "Brother Nelson, we are sealed to nobody. Can you help us?" That's what they said, and that's what he felt. That's what he received from those two young ladies, those two young girls. And so, like, not being able to deny that feeling and that experience, he went out again, and he tried to go find this family, this husband and this wife, this couple, to say, "Your daughters came to me." And he found out that the mother had passed away, but the father was still alive. And this was last May, he's saying. And so he discovers that the father, Jimmy, is now 88 years old, and he lives with his youngest son, Sean. And he says in June, so he had this experience in May, and in June, he talks about how he's kneeling at the feet of this 88-year-old man, and he tells the father, Jimmy, of this experience that he has with his daughters, and that their plead for help to be sealed with their family so that they can live with them for all time and eternity. You know, this is an 88-year-old man who has left the church for many, many years, and he pleads with them, the father and the son. He says, "It's gonna be hard." He's like, "But if," he's like, would you be willing to put in the work to, you know, regain that faith, regain the power of the priesthood, so that you guys can do this ordinances, because this is what your daughters have come to me and asked." And as an 80-year-old man, this guy put in the effort to become temple worthy, to go to the temple and flex his priesthood muscles and be sealed to his family, for his daughters, for his wife, and I'm sure for himself. And he goes, and after he tells that story, he shares a quote from George Albert Smith that says, "We are not here to while away the hours of this life and then pass to a sphere of exaltation, but we are here to qualify ourselves day by day for the positions our Father expects us to fill hereafter." When I read this quote, I thought to myself, life's too short to worry about things of the past, that we need to forgive ourselves for. When I lived back in Washington, a school of very few LDS people, I had a coach who was just a great man. He had a lot of bad habits, and he had a lot of things that he held on to, a lot of grudges and a lot of issues that he held on to. But anytime I'd come with him with a problem, he'd say, "You need to forgive yourself, and you need to do it. You need to do whatever you want to do for yourself, not for anyone else. Do it for yourself, and in that turn, it will affect the people around you, and that will be a blessing." And the words I wrote down is forgive and forget, let go of old habits. I wrote that down, and it's so important to find the strength and to humble yourself. And it is hard to forgive yourself often, but through the power of the Lord and through the scriptures and praying each and every day, we can overcome those things. All we are asked to do is the best that we can, the best that we can be. We're asked to be the best that we can be. And as men, that is being the best priesthood holders we can be and living worthy of that. Russell Nelson goes on to say himself, "I urgently plead with each of us to live up to our privileges as bearers of the priesthood. In a coming day, only those who have taken their priesthood seriously by diligently seeking to be taught by the Lord himself, we will be able to bless, protect, strengthen, and heal others. And I love that quote. And I know it's pertaining to the priesthood, but diligently seeking to be taught by the Lord himself, so that we can be blessed, we can be protected, we can be strengthened, we can be healed. That doesn't just apply to priesthood holders. That applies to all of us. And especially to not only having the priesthood power that we want to have and that we need to have, but strengthening our testimonies, you know, loving our families, being like having good relationships with the people around us, especially with our Savior. And I, when I read that, like, I don't know, just kind of a reiteration that I knew this was the talk I was supposed to give and what I was supposed to talk about, because I shared something about this with my mom the other night when I told her I wanted to try to read the Book of Mormon one more time before I went on my mission. I restarted in 1 Nephi 2, 16 through 18, shows Nephi's diligence to seek out the Lord himself and to learn from the Lord himself. And these verses read, and it came to pass that I, Nephi, being exceedingly young, nevertheless being large in stature and also having great desires to know the mysteries of God, wherefore I did cry unto the Lord, and behold, he did visit me and did soften my heart, that I did believe all the words which had been spoken by my father. Wherefore I did not rebel against him like unto my brothers. And I spake unto Sam, making known unto him the things which the Lord had manifest unto me by his Holy Spirit. And it came to pass that he believed my words. But, behold, Laman and Lemuel would not hearken unto my words. And being grieved because of the hardness of their hearts, I cried unto the Lord for them. So the reason why I shared that with my mom is just, and Randy, was because at this time, getting ready for a mission, and growing up, there's tons of things that our parents will say, there's tons of things that our leaders will say that we'll hear, but how will we really know if we don't take the time to learn for ourselves? And you always hear your parents say that, gain your own testimony. So often, growing up, and even in LDS home, it's hard. It's hard to always rely on your mother and father's beliefs and what they say. We have to know for ourselves. So what Russell Nelson goes on to say is, pay the price. Pay the price. What is the price we're willing to pay to have a strong testimony, to have the power of the priesthood, to have love in our homes, to have a good relationship with the Lord? Pay the price. What is it worth to you guys? And I ask all of you, what is the price? What's the price you're willing to pay? Think about that. What am I willing to do to have those things, to have that strength? And I gave a lesson this week in seminary on priorities. And I was like, perfect. Another thing that ties in. I know this is what I'm supposed to talk about. Where are our priorities? What comes first in our lives? Russell Nelson says, imagine if we spent as much time on strengthening our priesthood, building up that relationship with Christ, as we did in our work environment, in our passions, playing sports, learning an instrument. What if we put that much time into our relationship with God and into our beliefs? And I, back to that first quote, when George Albert Smith says, we are here to qualify ourselves day by day for the positions our Father expects us to fill hereafter. And again, that's tying in to pay the price. It's just like, sometimes we are asked to do hard things, but paying that price, we're not paying the price necessarily. Like, it may be something that's hard to do, but you're preparing yourself for what God has for you in store later. So really, all you're doing is benefiting yourself. Like, sure, that's something hard, but you're gaining from that. Why would that something that you would turn away from? Like I was saying, like, put your passions, like, every day, there's, like, I know that there's things that I love that I just want to be better at, and that I have a goal, I want to get there, and I'm going to get there. And, like, I know that if I turn that to my relationship with my family, the power of the priesthood and gaining a better understanding of the gospel, like, I'm just excited to see where I can get. I just want to talk about some of the things that I was sitting here and I was asking them for a pen because like all these thoughts started coming to my mind, and I started thinking of good, better, and best. Oftentimes, another thing that will happen is we think of things that, you know, we are going to church every Sunday. We have a testimony. We go to classes. We learn. But, yeah, that's good. But what's better? What's best? And I love that. And then I thought to myself as, I'm sorry, I don't remember your name, but as the sister was sharing her talk, our natural man will often settle. Our natural man will make the easier wrong instead of the harder right. Our natural man will have said, old ladies, cookies, those are going to be some good cookies. And they're going to let go of that handle and reach for those cookies. That's what our natural man will do. And it just made me think again of what my mom has said, where you need, like, the most important thing is where you can get to a point when your spirit is stronger than what your spirit wants, is stronger than what your body wants. And I love to think of that because that's definitely where I want to be. So I just want to share with you guys, don't settle. Don't settle for good. Be better. Be the best. Be the best that you can be. And I just hope that I can just drill that into your minds. Follow the Spirit. Put in the work. Pay the price to learn and to love the gospel. As I see my siblings out on missions, my sister said, you know, this was a while ago, but she said she has learned to love the gospel and she has learned to love this serve. And she's in a place where she's like, I don't want to come home. She's like, I thought I'd be ready, but I don't. I just love being out here. I love serving. And I love hearing the stories of these other missionaries and things like that, because I can't wait till I'm in that position and where I'm at that point in my life where I will do anything and I will pay the price to have a strong priesthood and be a strong priesthood holder so that I can bless, protect, and strengthen my family in future years. I want to bear my testimony to you guys that I know this church is true. I feel like so often we spend a lot of time searching for happiness instead of spending our time paying the price for what is better, what is best. When especially us as members of the church, we have the instructions, we have the recipe for happiness. We just need to make the harder right than the easier wrong. I know that Joseph Smith was a prophet. I know that Thomas S. Monson is a prophet, and the words that he speaks are what we need to hear. And all of these guys, Russell and Nelson, all of them, they all have their little pieces. I know that Thomas S. Monson is our prophet, but they are prophets of God too. Everything just kind of comes in, and I love that we have a church where we have so many people that have so many great insights, and it's just like putting puzzle pieces together till we find the big picture. I'm grateful for this church. I'm grateful for everyone that is here, and I'm grateful for the time that I've been able to spend in this ward and to learn and to come to love you guys as a ward family, to get to play church ball with these great young men. I'm so excited to come home. I was thinking about this as I was sitting down. I'm going to come home and be like, where is everybody? And I better hear you guys are all on your missions. And so I'm excited to come home and find out where everyone's at, and hope you guys find the happiness that I know is in this gospel, and that I am striving to get better, to be the best that I can be. So again, I just want to let you guys know I'm serving in the Uruguay Montevideo West Mission, and I'll be leaving July 14th to the Buenos Aires MTC. And just as I was saying, talking about the talks, or the how I knew that this was the talk I was supposed to give, the scripture I'm putting on my plaque is DNC 11:21, and it says, seek not to declare my word, but first seek to obtain my word, and then shall your tongue be loosed. Then, if you desire, you shall have my spirit and my word, yea, the power of God unto the convincing of men. And that ties in perfectly. We need to put in the work. to know the Lord's word, to know his will, and then he will bless us. He will bless us with the power of God. And that is what the priesthood is. The priesthood is the power of God directly to us as mortals on the earth. I've been so blessed to have you guys, to have the family that I have, to be raised in a home where I have all the answers, where I have the instructions. But as I've been saying, we have to know for ourselves. We have to put in the work ourselves. I've noticed just in these last couple weeks, as I've been putting in the work, Randy offered only a week ago, if you're willing, I'll wake up with you every morning and I'll preach my gospel with you. And we've been doing that. And it's been awesome. I have seen huge differences. I've seen differences in my patience, in the love I have for my siblings, in the patience I have for my siblings. I was just thinking that this morning. I'm not quick to be contentious. I'm much more loving and understanding. And as I learn and grow, I know that my understanding of this gospel will get better and better. And I feel like right now I'm like, oh, I think I'm in a good spot. But like, I'm just like getting started, and I can't wait to be at a place where I love to serve, and I just can't wait to bless the lives of the people in Uruguay and for them to bless my life. I'm excited to learn a new language, all these things. I know I'm just piling stuff on. I just feel like right now in my life, I'm just being so blessed. And everyone's like, this is a time where Satan's going to try so hard to keep you going on a mission, but I know I'm winning that battle right now. And if I continue to do what I'm doing and continue to learn and listen to the people that offer their help so diligently, and that I will be in the place where I want to be, and I know that serving the mission is the right thing to do. So, again, young men, serve your missions, and love to serve your Lord. I'm continuing to babble on because I just want things to come to my mind that I need to share with you guys, but I just want to leave you guys with, I'm so excited to be a servant of the Lord, and I hope you young men are too. Again, what is the price you're willing to pay, not only to have priesthood power, but to have a testimony, to have a strong relationship with your Father in heaven? I know that it's worth it. I know that's where you can find true happiness, and I leave that with you guys in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
I'd like to thank our speakers. It was a wonderful sacrament meeting, and we look forward to great things from Blake as he goes out and serves the Lord. We also would like to thank Sister Clifford and Brother Jackman for the music. Our closing hymn will be on page 286, Oh, What Songs of Heart, and the benediction will be given by Sister Heidi Waite.
Our Father in heaven, we're thankful that we could meet today on this beautiful day, and we're thankful for the rain that we've received, and we're especially grateful for the spiritual feast that we have just had in this meeting. and that we were able to feel thy spirit. And we're grateful that we have this church to help us with this very hard life. We ask that thou wilt bless our prophet and our spiritual leaders who guide us. We're so thankful for their wisdom and for their spirit, and that they are in tune with thee so they can help us. We ask that thou wilt help us to remember the things that were said today. Help us to reach for the temple and utilize the strength that we can receive from that. Help us to also build our testimonies and seek for the word ourselves and gain that knowledge. We ask thee to bless those who are not with us today, that they will feel our love for them, and that they will want to return and be with thee and with us. We ask thee to bless those who are presenting today and who are giving lessons, that they will have thy spirit with them, and help us to continue to have thy spirit with us as we listen and learn. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.